Productivityist Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Vardy, and this week on the program, Matt Bodnar joins me again for three more things. Initially, I had Matt on the show. I'll link to that in the show notes. You should be able to click on that and listen to the original episode that Matt appeared on, but I used to ask guests to stick around to talk about three more things with me, and this episode has not seen the light of day until now, until this very moment. So enjoy three more things right now with Matt Bodnar here on the Productivityist Podcast.
It's time for three more things with Matt Bodnar. Matt, thanks for sticking around.
Mike, thanks for having me back to the bonus episode.
It was an easy decision to make. It was a really easy decision to make. I want to talk, before we dive into to the three things in particular, and this might be one of the things, depending on how long the story is, what caused you to say, you know what, I want to spend time studying the art of decision making? Like, what led you down that path? Because it's kind of, first off, it's a bit of a decision to make that decision. And secondly, it's a fascinating area that I'm sure is much deeper than most people can even fathom.
Yeah. I mean, so it's funny. I didn't set out to study decision making. What I set out to do was study world-class achievers and world-class performers. I studied billionaires, titans of industry. You know, I have dozens of biographies, you know, John D. Rockefeller, Andrew Carnegie, Elon Musk. I've read pretty much everything that's ever been written by or about Warren Buffett. And that's really kind of what got me into this whole world. And I started, you know, after reading pretty much everything about Warren Buffett, and if you study him enough, you start to come across again and again this guy named Charlie Munger. Yeah. And Charlie Munger is Warren Buffett's business partner. He's a billionaire. He's an incredible thinker. And I've become obsessed with Munger as well. He's a really, really fascinating guy.
Yeah, and I've got the book, The Tao of Munger. I haven't read it yet. It's one of those books, you know, when you go on a buying binge from Amazon, you're like, yep. Oh, this is one of the books. And I did not know this about Charlie, and I'll let you jump back in here in a second. But I used to work for Costco for like 11 years. And when I was recently the CEO, as we're recording it recently, the CEO, Jim Sinegal, he was still on the board. He was still, and he's now officially retired. And I didn't realize that Charlie Munger was on the board of Costco and has been for a long, long time. So
yeah, he's a diehard Costco fan.
Yeah. And it makes sense because Costco has a fantastic business model. And I don't think he would spend time with a company that did not have a fantastic business model. But continue.
And so I will throw out one little thing for you and obviously anybody listening. Tao of Munger, I haven't read it actually, but there's a book that encapsulates not only kind of a short biography of his life, but then really his sort of thematic thinkings about the world and how mm-hmm. people should think and decide and all this stuff. It's called Poor Charlie's Almanac, and I would highly recommend reading that as kind of your intro to Charlie Munger. Because I don't know what the Tao of Munger looks like, but if it's kind of just like quotes and stuff like that and like little tidbits of wisdom, he can seem very kind of esoteric and hard to understand. Mm-hmm. But once you kind of learn to speak his language, because he speaks kind of strangely too, and uses like weird words and aphorisms and stuff. Once you learn how he speaks, you start to uncover like the incredible wealth of knowledge the treasure trove that he's kind of packing and sharing with people. But
I'm going to cut in again. I'm sorry. You've seen the documentary Becoming Warren Buffett, haven't you?
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, so if people are interested in – I think – so what you're saying is Poor Charlie's Almanac probably serves the same becoming Warren Buffett does, because it gives you some deep insights as to who Warren Buffett was, is, and how he's kind of got to where – well, it's called Becoming Warren Buffett. So that's another one that I'll throw in there, because those two guys, like you're right, they are incredible partners, and they each bring something unique to the table.
For sure. And the funny thing is, like, you know, Buffett and Munger were the first ones that kind of started keying me into some of these principles of decision making. And mm-hmm. the more I started reading and studying across vastly different fields, really successful people, really high achievers, the lessons and the strategies were very, very similar. And I kind of cobbled them together into this framework that I call the art of decision making. But really, it was not a sort of from the outset to say, ah, yes, decision making, I'm going to go deep into that. It was more like, I want to study what the hell these guys are doing that's made them so successful, and not just Buffett and Munger. Obviously, that was kind of the starting point, but you know, getting into all kinds of people and really starting to realize, like, wow, there's some commonalities here that again and again keep coming up. And you know, one of them obviously is contemplative routines. You know, I don't know how much I know. We don't have a ton of time in the bonus episode, but you know, another one that is super, super important that Munger and Buffett talk about, and a lot of other kind of great thinkers and achievers talk about, is focusing and studying things that don't change mm-hmm. or change very slowly over time, yeah. right?
Jeff Bezos talks about it too, like focus on the things that don't, you know what I mean? Like, I think that there's a lot of that.
That's there. Everything stores a great biography. Like, he's another person that I've studied really deeply. And to me, again, like there's a ton of common themes when you study all these top achievers. And, you know, that idea of when you study stuff that changes really slowly over time, and I'm talking about, like, let's say mastering the principles of psychology, right? Like things like Influence by Robert Cialdini, Predictably Irrational by Dan Ariely, these kind mm-hmm. of books. When you study those, you're building a really rich and deep framework of knowledge that helps you understand the world and understand human behavior really effectively. But right. when you spend and so when you master those principles, it's really easy to invent the tactics and strategies. But when you go and study and spend your time reading articles like the 10 new hacks to improve email opt-in rates,
yeah.
right? Like that's like in 5 years, that knowledge is completely irrelevant
because it's application based, not so much the underpinning is not there, like which is one of the reasons why I don't necessarily write publicly as much. I'll talk about it, but apps, like people will say to me, what's the best to-do list app? And I'm like, I don't know. And they'll say, what do you mean you don't, but you're a productivity expert, how do you not know? I'm like, well, I don't know, are you a paper person, are you digital? Like, there's so many other layers there. But people often assume that if they have the best to-do list app tool, or they have Evernote or whatever, that it's going to make them more productive, more organized. But it's like saying, "Hey, I'm a brand new golfer, but if I buy the best clubs, I'm going to be the best golfer."
Exactly.
No one thinks that, right? You have to.
That's a great analogy, actually.
Right, right. It's like, you know, I would much rather, if there's it's about craft, right? Like, and mm-hmm. you can't develop craft quickly. It's just, it takes time and nurturing. And so when you're talking about guys like everyone that you've talked about to this point, and Charles Duhigg's stuff about cue reward routine, all that stuff, or routine reward rather, I mean, that stuff, like you said, it's part of human nature. It's the human aspect. And I find that with productivity and with even with things like decision making and the way the world moves so quickly, that it's almost as if we are devaluing the role the human being and human nature plays in this play that we're in, and that's why, you know, when I talk about time crafting, it's about, look, you do have more time than you think you have. You just need to. It's a mindset thing, and I think that a lot of people don't totally focus true. On mindset. Anyways, sorry, I know we and it's a bonus episode, so we can go a little bit longer, but I think that there's a lot to be learned there. And I like how we've combined recommend, because I want to ask what reading and what viewing you would recommend. We've now combined three and four, so now we are going to end up with three things, which is fantastic. So, but
nice.
But I want to talk about like the idea of routines and focusing on the things that don't change, because, like, so for example, I have my to-do list app, like set out clothes for tomorrow, prepare breakfast. Like I know exactly what I'm going to have for breakfast tomorrow every single day. Buffett did too, right? Like, I mean, he knows, I think in the beginning of that documentary, he has two options. Whatever his wife leaves in his car for change is what he's going to get for breakfast at McDonald's.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
That's right.
And it eliminates, and there's a reason why you hear that presidents, and we'll use Obama, but it doesn't really matter, have like two suits, because they have more important decisions to make. And what kind of routines have you implemented that allow you to kind of adhere to some of the people that you've read about?
You know, it's funny. I've literally been – I'm like on the cusp of like Steve Jobsing my wardrobe, not necessarily the black turtleneck, but like I think my wife would probably kill me if I did this, but like I'm inching towards having like two or three outfits and just buying like 20 of the same shirt. And
right.
Just being like, you know what? This is my thing. Like if I look good and I like it, why do I need to keep deviating?
And one of the things I've done is the Project 333 that my friend Courtney Carver does. It's funny because I just shifted to – I do it every 6 months, so because we have very – up in Victoria, we don't really have summer, hot summers, but we don't have cold winters. So I'm able to kind of have 40 items in my clothing wardrobe, from pants, shirts, all that stuff. And I just transferred as we're recording this, and it's like I have brand new clothes all over again. Even though these clothes are old but it's like you get that feeling of, oh, look, I've just got a brand new wardrobe. So I'm with you on the, like, let's remove the decision factor from what we're wearing, all that stuff. but I needed to have a bit of a broader stroke to it, so I didn't feel like I was, yeah, like Steve Jobsing it, like you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, anyway, coming back to the fundamental question about routines, other than Steve Jobsing my wardrobe, which I haven't done yet, but definitely could happen. I'm definitely a creature of routine, and I, you know, we talked about this in the main interview, but like the way I structure my day is, it begins with the night before. With I kind of set out, let's say, and even really, I let's actually start on Sunday, because Sunday is where my whole week's architecture begins.
Me too.
Sunday, I will spend maybe 2 hours, and not this isn't like hard productivity time, but like I'll be like watching TV with my wife or something, and it's been like 2 hours, and I'll consolidate. I'll go through every email. I'll go through my calendar for the previous week and the upcoming week, and then I'll go through my to-do list and, you know, kind of cycle through everything, see what's been done, see what's unassigned, all this kind of stuff. And then I'll go through my Evernote and classify any notes that haven't been classified, you know, tag them and see like basically all the notes I created in the last week. And the goal of that process is to kind of prime myself and say, okay, what is the next week going to look like? And what are the kind of key things from the previous week that I want to make sure to carry over or make progress on? Or, you know, kind of advance in some form or fashion, kind of tied to my bigger picture goals. And so that begins on Sunday. And then I'll set out typically every day kind of 1 to 2, you know, MITs, most important tasks that I want to achieve that day. And the way that I kind of structure my day is basically at the end of the day, a lot of times I'll kind of pose a question or a challenge for myself. That I want to journal about the next day, and that kind of primes the subconscious. And there's actually a neurological phenomenon that's based in the science called creative incubation. And if you've ever had that experience of working on a problem, you know, whether it's a video game or you're building something or you know you're trying to put something together or whatever, you have this problem, you go have lunch, and you come back, and suddenly, boom, you do it right away. And you completely couldn't do it before. What happens is when you consciously focus away from something, your subconscious is recombining and analyzing and processing it and helps you create these kind of novel insights that enable you to immediately kind of overcome that barrier. And so I try to harness creative incubation and sort of bring it to bear on specific problems or challenges that I have in my life. And so the end of the day, I'll try to pose a question into the workday. So not when I'm going to bed, but like, let's say 5 or 6 p.m., I'll pose a question to myself, you know, how am I going to deal with, let's say, customer acquisition, or how am I going to grow this business unit or whatever? And you know, it could be a personal challenge, could be a business challenge. And then I'll let it go, right? I'll spend some time with my wife. I'll relax, have that downtime, which is a critical component of being a really productive and effective person, is having downtime and having recovery time. Then the next morning when I get up, I have a very sort of a three-part thing that I do before I even check my email, and I actually have this app that's amazing. It's a Chrome plugin called Inbox When Ready that all it does is just a little button at the top of your inbox, and it default hides all of your emails. And all you have to do is click it, and it shows you your emails, but it just default hides them so that when I open my email, there's nothing there. And so when there's nothing there, like I don't get triggered and sucked into like a vortex of email for like 45 minutes. And so all I have to do is click the button, but it's great because I don't have to click the button. And so what I'll do is when I get up first thing in the morning before checking email, all that stuff, I'll meditate for like 15 to 20 minutes. That kind of primes me to get my day started and puts me in a good kind of mental state. Well, after meditation, I'll spend about 20 to 30 minutes journaling, and that'll either be a journal about the problem that I've kind of posed the night before, or one of the kind of journaling exercises that I love doing and really gets me kind of excited and energized is I'll try to do a creative brainstorm around a problem in my business. And so basically I'll try to come up with like 10 ways to solve a problem, or 10 new ways to make money, or 10 ways to, you know, grow my revenue.
So you BuzzFeed it basically. In a lot of ways, like the 10 best ways I can do this or whatever.
Yeah, but interesting, I'll give you an example. There's a problem that I was dealing with, and I've been telling myself in my mental dialogue for about 2 weeks, it's like, oh, it's kind of intractable. Like, there's not really a lot I can do. There's like 1 to 2 things that I can think of maybe as solutions. And I was like, you know what? I'll journal on it, but I already know there's not really much I can do. There's maybe one or two things. So I journal on it. I came up with 18 solutions in 30 minutes. Right. And I wrote at the end of that journal, I was like, okay, like this is proof that the methodology is really effective. You know, there's 18 things that I could be doing that I'm not doing currently that I could start implementing right away. Right. And so that really gets me excited and primed and feeling really creative and helps build that creative muscle. And so I feel super amped when I do that exercise. I try to do it at least 3 or 4 mornings a week. And so I do that after I meditate. Then I'll spend about an hour, again, still haven't even looked at my inbox. I'll spend about an hour on learning time. And so that could be reading. That could be like one of the things I've been getting really into recently is learning a lot of the kind of traditional memory techniques that memory champions and stuff use. So memory palaces, mind maps, like mnemonics, visual markers, all these kind of elements that can really enhance your memory. It's fascinating stuff. So I've been getting really into that. We interviewed this guy on the show named Jonathan Levy, and he talked a bunch about it and got me really excited about it. So I'll do everything from like building a mind map or building a memory palace in my head to reading a book, kind of synthesizing information, like all that kind of stuff. So that's basically the first 2 hours of my day. Still haven't done any like quote unquote work, but I've actually, done a tremendous amount of kind of value creation in my own head and primed myself to be really excited and kind of crush the day. And then I'll come to kind of the most important task, and I'll try to execute on that and crush that, let's say for the next hour. Again, still haven't looked at my email. And it's funny because I noticed before I got this Inbox When Ready app, like mm-hmm. I would have a similar routine, but every like 5 or 10 minutes, I'd check my email. Oh, get distracted. Send a couple emails, 5 or 10 minutes. And my attention was shot.
Right
now, I today, for example, I probably didn't look at my inbox until about 10 a.m. And then I had, 20 something unread emails, and I literally got to inbox zero in like 13 minutes.
Wow.
Right.
Do you focus on inbox? See, for me, it's not quite the same. I will look at, so I don't really snooze emails, but I have like folders that I put them in so I can toss them aside, but it's basically the same thing. It's just, you've got this, are you focused intensely on, like, if you don't get to inbox zero, does that bother you?
It bothers me a little bit, but like I'll sit for a week or two with like 4 or 5 emails in my inbox if I have to. But like if I have more than 10 emails in my inbox, it's a problem for me.
Right.
Like I just can't handle it. And like sometimes I just need to snooze them or whatever, like file them away. But yeah, like the we can talk about inbox zero, but the point I was trying to make is basically like it's crazy because those 17 emails or whatever, those 20 emails that I sent in that 15 minutes basically, like if those had been sent one at a time in real time over the course of the previous 2 or 3 hours, the attention cost of that would have been monumental.
Yes.
Right. But the fact that like I was able to batch it, do it so quickly and still take care of everything and have the really productive time where I wasn't constantly being derailed and focused is really high value. And so to me, like having that morning time before I get thrown into like reactive mode where this email and that and this demand and people want, oh, what about this? Hey, blah, blah, blah. It's so easy to get distracted in today's world. I really try to carve out the time to have a routine that enables me to prime myself and focus on getting in a great state, focus on, thinking, journaling, getting creative, thinking at a high level about my problems. And that journaling is a contemplative routine, right? That's kind of mm-hmm. that's the thing that we talked about in the main interview. That when you spend that time, like sometimes I'll spend that morning journaling session doing like an 80-20 analysis of my life and my business and figure out like what are some opportunities to cut out things that are wasting my time, cut out things that are distracting me, et cetera. And like my journal session this morning, I'm days away from having my first child. Like the due date's in less than 2 weeks.
And congratulations.
So could pop at any minute. And I was basically brainstorming like what are all the strategies that I'm going to use to not only just ruthlessly cut out stuff that's non-essential, but also to make sure that, my projects keep going, my team's ready, like all this kind of stuff so that I can focus for the first couple of weeks on my wife and my child. And so, like that I feel way better about that whole process and that system because I took the time to plan out what's going to happen, how am I going to take care of everything and figure out like what are the breakpoints that might happen? How can I address them ahead of time and be ready for when things, when I am kind of distracted.
Matt, thanks for sticking around to talk about three more things.
Mike, this has been awesome. Great conversation. Love sharing these insights with your listeners, and thank you so much for having me on the show.